Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
schemes to motivate and provoke cardiac rehabilitation. I'm giving this podcast as I'm weaning my way out of this maze of roads up here on a ridge line up in the Blue Mountains, and it's not a complex thing. There's only a few roads here, a few artery roads. There's only a few things to do, but gee, I'm a bit lost up here. So I've delivered my daughter off to a meeting, a scout meeting, where they plan things, and I have to pick her up in a while. But I'm using this opportunity to do a podcast about roads aren't very wide around here. A podcast about motivating cardiac rehabilitation. I think we know more about rehabilitation. Why? It's just convincing people to do it is a major theme. Is, you know, if you could convince people to really adopt it, things would be a very, very different story. So look, I've got my direction. Like, I know where west is because I've got the sun coming in from the west. The setting sun is setting in the west, so I know the general direction. I have to head west to get back to the main spines along here. So what is going on here? Am I losing my mind? I think I might be losing my mind. There you go. Okay, cardiac rehabilitation. What's it all about? Well, there's a large fraction of the population who are coming off. So there you go. I've seen my fault. We're all going. Yeah, so there's a large fraction of the population which are getting old, need care, and there's also a large fraction of the population that we're picking up. So the length of the life is increasing, the wellness is increasing, and the amount of technology and precision and volume that you're doing. So it's a new sort of mass market for healthcare, at least in Australia it is. And so over the space of 20 years, I'd say, 20, 30 years, the world has totally transformed. When there was a few high-risk, very expensive operations on the drawing board, they are now routine, and the range of interventions can be completely different. So there's medication, just take it quietly and just live with a time bomb going off, so that's really not living at all. But also there was really open heart surgery. Even 20 years ago, the only option was open heart surgery. So the general idea is that your heart's got different. The sort of a major way hearts fail is that the plumbing which supplied them has gets blocked, and we have to re-plumb them. You can re-plumb them externally by just putting a jumper lead, putting a piece of vein. It is actually, you've got an artery, they harvest a piece of vein and obviously make sure they've got the vein, blood only flows in one direction of the vein, and they just hook it up and bypass, or it's called a bypass. So it's a major game in town. It's now a lot more efficient. So the major things which are funneling in, there's a lot more people funneling in, there's a lot more people with managed healthcare. So remarkably, you'll be most likely to see a cardiologist if you've got diabetes, or if you smoke, or all these sorts of things. Now, thankfully, in Australia, smoking is really winding down, and it's really a class thing. Look, I must admit, there must be rich people, you know, better people who smoke. I don't think there are many, quite honestly. But it's the sort of the people, you know, some of the people are tobacconists in country towns. They're the type of people that smoke. So look, the demographics has changed, but our ability to pick things up, and so we're not having people drop dead, but we are fixing them, and we're fixing them, but we haven't really communicated that there's more to it. And so the general gist is that there's a lot more more intervention. It's a lot more complex intervention than what's generally considered, because people, you have a test, and you know, it used to be that there was the advantage of a test is it's so definitive, you know, like you can actually see within minutes or hours whether someone's got a heart attack, the oxygenation, all these even little things can pick up what's going on. And there's Dr. Google, all these things going up, and all that does is it diminishes or shifts the patient role, patient testimony, and when these people, I suppose, really haven't interacted in a very assertive way in their life, it's a sort of a big change, and they're sort of used to actually medicine happening basically in a soap opera situation. In general, that's the majority of people's experience of medicine. Is initially, if they're the first couple of people that they know suffering these things, is a soap opera scenario. And the soap opera is designed to tell a story and have the story resolved. The actual thing of that the television set goes off, and you've just got to really fill up those other 23 hours in a day with something useful. It's not necessarily very obvious to people. And so, now, let me just go on to the side. There was bypasses, but now, and there really wasn't valve replacements, but now there are fantastic things called valve replacement. And can I say, it's a fantastic thing. So you can have a bad valve. So essentially it's a pump, multi-stage pump. So it's got a charge up, lockdown, pump out into a pressure vessel, which then feeds the rest of your body, and lockdown. It's got to operate. It's got to have a sequence of little valves shut off to pump and lock, pump and lock. So that's the thump thump is locking. So the valves are replacing. I can go into the fantastic dip, but there's another marvelous thing coming up here. I'm just going to make sure that you're not crashing and dying at this point in time. Not too long. So, there's all these new technologies, new tests, and I think medicine is really struggling to keep up with the ethical packaging of the tests in relationship to not a theoretical society, but the real people they have in front of them. So there are people who have lived a pretty crazy life, a pretty meaningless life, and the tests is intense, high-grade meaning. And so their life does interact with it on many, many levels. And things in the past, these are new tests, new techniques, and they haven't got a past precedent for them. So people really don't know how to react. And I'm not apologising for it. It's just an observation. A lot of these people, when they're fixed, they stay still. They don't move all that much. That's just an observation. That's something I understand. Whether I can communicate it, it's something that I observe. So what's happening is that previously we had ripping. And look, the bypass stuff has really gone in leaps and bounds, simply because I've got apps for teaching it at school, and it's really gone way, way ahead since those apps have come out. It's a lot more elegant process. And there's a lot of knowledge, and human knowledge is really going into this because we've got human liability to it. I'm just switching my headlights there. So it's going into it. Now, on that, we've then got another set of techniques which are pretty non-surgical. They're non-surgical. There's S for surgical and M for a medical heart replace, and that's with stents. And of course stents and even intra-arterial valves. You can actually put in a valve and it can actually expand, and the person is awake watching a new valve being put in, and then they go, whew, they actually feel the benefit right there and then. But it's still a story of a medical thing which has gone in advance, a society which has a need for these people to be productive, you know. The bottom line, or not a drag on society. There is a need that when we pick you up from this path and we've got a new path for you and you've got this potential productivity, there is a need for you to be productive. Now, this general idea, there's actually no one running the show. So at the end of the day, the doctors are looking at managing their duty of care, making sure the duty of care is totally signed off. So if the shit hits the fan, letters are written, people, there is one person in charge, there's a clear person in charge at this stage. This is the entire referral process and who deals with what, where and when. It's taking this stuff here. So they're managing that, but I will posit, this is from speaking to my cardi buddies. So the one cardi buddy I do speak, the one cardi buddy I do speak, who's actually beginning to put a bit of effort sort of thinking about it, there's three or four people who don't do any rehab. So just to give you an idea, you wouldn't do much of a heart operation or say a stent would be $50,000. Something like me would be probably $250,000 by the time you do two sets of operations for it. So I'm just going around here for a little bit more safety, but it's all finished very quickly. So look, the general gist is that there's all this money. The money's not so much the important thing, it's the actual, we have a new solution and we're not actually running, we haven't actually really thought that solution through, in that we're in terms of telling people who can philosophically understand that rehabilitation is really important. And say for me, I it was going to be a real battle with the valve popped out. I used to spend hours foot just going in front of the other foot, not being able to walk, but literally 3 hours going on these long walks and just pushing night after night, pushing. So you really have to do that, really get in and push yourself. I don't know, you've got to really commit to get the full value. Now it's a value proposition because of a liability, and we've replaced one liability with another. We really have got to get through to these people. And after the second operation, I was up and coughing, and I'd walk around, and I realised that I wasn't experiencing an anomaly from the first operation. There were people there who were pretty well stuffed. That's the Australian word is for stuffed, it's not working. And they were saying, look, I've had enough, I'm not going to do any rehabilitation. And the first time, you just took that on board. The second time, when you heard exactly the same thing, I'm not going to do any rehabilitation, because they're at an information, their information intake has been maximised. They've taken in the maximum amount of information they can from that channel. So if you can combine these subtle concepts, information from a particular channel, new information which is not seated with a cultural understanding of where people are and what should happen. It doesn't necessarily, rehabilitation doesn't make sense to a lot of people, and they see it as a cost, a cost of doing something. So something, an imposition that they've been asked to do, and they really haven't thought it through. And I'm not saying there's anything against them or any particular player, but you know, wouldn't it be good if we could restructure things? Now, my sort of background is I've done MBA and process innovation, and look, I must admit, at the time I didn't understand marketing. I couldn't understand marketing, couldn't understand psychology. Well, I did understand strategy and a few things like this. So this is a strategy that I'm going to talk about that will unlock some of these things. Take the focus off you're doing it for this reason, you're doing it, and take the focus off you're doing it for a certain logic. So let's go in that. Imagine I could go around, and I've thought of ways to raise money for these theses. I could go around and raise a dollar for someone in, say, the Pacific Islands for heart operations. Because that's a large amount of Australian aid goes for, which just basically the heart, where the operations, the medical centre for a lot of the Pacific, we do it. There's people from Tahiti, New Caledonia, all the places, the hospitals are full of these people. So, and there's a charity, people will want to give a dollar. Now, imagine if I could actually say, well, for your dollar, I can give you more. What you do is you get the dollar and you say, if an Australian reaches some really modest cardiac rehabilitation targets, i.e. after, you know, in the week after the operation, you get to go twice around the wheel, walk twice around the ward, or something like that. That will release $3 for cardiac rehabilitation in Samoa. It's sort of this double thing that you... Well, I suppose people can want some money, but I just don't think it's going to be very... It's going to go down too well. But people, if they think they, it's like a walkathon, it's, if something can do something, and it's like these, you know, this is mad, I hate you for saying this type of stuff, but this is the idea of competitions. There's a competition happening, and it's the competition gives you, they're giving you money for you to handle their Kellogg's or whatever, their fruit bar concept, their Coke concept they have. What we can do, we can either offer it better, we can lecture it to you, we can make it cheaper, or we can actually have a competition, some sort of community activity to communicate what's worthwhile. And this is my idea. I've sort of looked at basically making food heart parts to educate people on it, or giving people a piece of chocolate which can break up to really small pieces so they learn how to eat properly, you know, with structures like that. That's okay, because that's a single hit. This is a multiple hit. That you earn some money by achieving a cardiac goal that people around will set you, and people can donate. So it's got the sweet spot. It's got everything aligned for it. So there's marketing theory for it. And there's also something I'm wise enough to realise is that there's a requirement to really keep quiet. And if you're not in the zone, so there's, so like I had cardiac rehab, and they had this computer program which... They pressed a few buttons to see what your problems are, and it suggested things and printed out. And there was various spelling mistakes in it, and people just, and not, you know, I didn't write the program, it's here, and we're trying to do this with it, which is okay. It's just that people are just not in the space for taking on new ideas, and particularly even in this. The actual clientele that I'm dealing with, I'm not saying anything else, I would never push it. It's not that I'm not pushing it, I'm thinking there's got to be a better group to understand it, some person, some group who can actually pick up the logic of what it is. That is that arranging fundraising. So the idea that I would say arrange, I'll do that, fundraise for people in Samoa and Nauru and say the cardiac health of, say, refugees or something like that. That's great. But then the next thing with it, which is quite unpalatable, is doing something new. And the new thing is that money gets released when we do our own cardiac rehab. And of course that would mean so much more. It would value add to that dollar. So that dollar does several things. It gets... Sorry, I'm just looking at Gilton. It's amazing how fast a journey goes when you're trying to podcast. Yeah, the value of it is, obviously, that dollar goes to getting someone who's in a remote Pacific island from one island to another to an airport to do it, or for a nurse, a cardiac nurse, to go out there. That's a $1. That's a fiscal dollar. Then that dollar gets another thing, is that it inspires or is released by someone doing some cardiac rehab. And the entire thing is that there is no more commercial process with it. Then it's got, so that's one, two, third value is that that person doing it. It's also, it means it's got the handling, the person organising, the people arranging, it's got this handling aspect to it. So it's got that third level. It's got a fourth level. So when the person finally says, I've got that dollar is actually more valuable to them, because it's a dollar which has been given, but it's been given with the love and attention of those other layers. So that fourth layer is there. So I just sort of highly recommend it. And I'm fully aware that I'm not the person to sell and market this. This is someone else should actually be able to package this up. I can say it for someone who's thinking about it logically. I can't say it to someone who says, who's the combination in the right place. That is, there's a forum for this sort of thing to be said, that where people are in the right place and they're happy and they're stressed, they're not being hassled for it. There's also the right person to say it. Someone who's always coming up with ideas, always analysing things, it really is this shutdown, which is okay. That if you have, there are the artful people who don't have this process. They have actually thought their way through, or naturally gone there to be not be analysing at the front, to be just inspired. And when they're just inspired, they can just flow through. So there's, again, at this level, there's the idea here, but it requires the right conditions and the right people to push it forward. And unfortunately, I will support them as best as I can. It's part of a team, in terms of the analytical team to get the idea up. But there are other people there who have got a whole series of different disciplines interacting together to unravel the situation. And I think it is an important thing to unravel, because the opportunity cost is just staggering. Like, the opportunity cost of people still smoking is absolutely staggering. And indeed, in rehabilitation are doing other things. They're the people who don't give up smoking. And in fact, I have really lovely people, and they say, I just can't give it up. I love the ciggies. And it doesn't require a stick. It requires someone just to sit with you and support and see if you can move it on. For listening, we're off to doing some shopping. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.